I've been given about 2 hours worth of questions. No, that's a joke. But judging from the questions that I've already gotten, this may be an interesting session, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to just get right into answering the questions. If you're here and you're visiting with us, you may be wondering what in the world is going on. About twice a year, I field questions on a topic that I announce ahead of time. In this case, looking at men and women and their equality or lack thereof, whatever you want to ask about. And I try to do the best I can. I don't know the questions ahead of time, so give me at least give me a little bit of a break on that. But feel free to ask your questions. Everton and Wes have cards. If you've written out a question, hold it up. They'll get it. If you want a card to ask a question, hold your hand up, and they'll bring you a card. That being said, let me get right into the question. First question reads, from a biblical standpoint, does God view men and women equally? Yes. And no. And that's not a cop-out. And as I think you will see over the course of the next few minutes, it depends on the viewpoint you're coming from. In other words, the reference point, I might say, with regard to what does God view men and women equally? There is a sense in which men and women are equal, and there is certainly a sense in which men and women, males and females, are distinct. And I hope I make that clear in the answers that I'm about to give, depending on the question. If not, I'll come back and address that. Question number two, is someone who identifies differently than what they were born supposed to stay single? This is an interesting question in our time because there's a lot of discussion about gender, and there is a lot of discussion about not only what a person physically is born to be, male or obviously female, but more how they psychologically view themselves, how they think, what their mind says. So they may be physically male to all appearance, but they will say mentally, I am female. And we all understand with technology that there is today, medical technology, there is a degree to which at least a person can be changed physically. Now that being said, let's address it from a biblical standpoint. A person who identifies differently. My main question in all of this always is this. Why do you identify differently? I think there are different reasons. A person may say, well, I was born thinking this way. That may or may not be the case. I'm not questioning what goes on in someone's mind. But I think certainly in this day and time, there's a lot of help that is given, and given from a very early age. That confuses the identification. I will say this. If you look back at the passage that was just read for us in Genesis 1, please go back there with me. Look clearly, if you will, again at those verses when God created human beings. Very clearly, God distinctly created people to be male and female. If you look at verse 27, without question, in both Hebrew and Greek that the Bible is written in, there are clear terms. There is a term for humanity, man. Anthropology, for example, comes from that term. We're not talking about that. We're talking about clearly male or female. And God created people to be either male or female. Now, there may be exceptions to that physically. And I understand that. And there may be something in the same sense that it would be considered a genetic defect. There may be that. But basically speaking, the question always comes back, why do you identify as something opposite from what you physically are? And I think that has to be the answer to the question. So I'll leave it at that for right now. And this appears to be an additional question about that. How do we respectfully deal with people that identify differently? I think it is respectful to give credence to the honesty of a person if they're claiming to be honest. I think it is also respectful to teach the difference clearly from Scripture, to teach both what we should identify to be, which is male or female, and then to discuss what it means to be male or female with God. And I think all of that is respectful. Question Question number two, how do we know that God did not mean for them to be that way? You know, originally, I will say it like that, originally, that is when the world was created perfect and everything was perfect, God distinctly made human beings male and female. If there are genetic defects due to sickness, due to whatever it might be, then that is just what it is. It would be the same thing as saying, did God intend for someone to be, you know, blind or physically handicapped or something like that? No, in the garden they were not. But the effects of the world, in many respects, the effects of the world do affect gender in this world and how a person identifies. And that can be whether it is physical or it can be the effects of maybe teaching or false teaching or whatever it might be. Let me move on to another question. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Why did Paul say in Corinthians 14 that a woman should not speak in church? Actually, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul poses several situations in which people should not speak. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but if you would notice in 14, beginning down in verse 26, when brethren assemble together, there is a sense in which, or there is a situation in which, when people are speaking, everybody else should be quiet. The word silent is used. But down specifically, if you'll look at verses 34 and 35, let your women, which is females in the original, keep silence. Literally, the word for silence there means don't say words. So let your women keep silence in the churches, in the assemblies, like we are assembled together right now. It is not permitted for them to speak in the assembly. They are commanded to be under obedience. Now, Paul gives the reason. The question asks the reason. Paul says they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. Going all the way back to Genesis 3, one of the consequences in verse 16, I think it is that women are to be obedient. They are to obey their husband, for example. There is a position that they are to assume as a woman. And therefore, one of the limitations, according to the law, both Old and New Testament, is they are not to speak or, in that sense, lead, as we often refer to the term, in a public assembly. If they will learn anything. Now, this means, this word for learn means by question and answer. In other words, I learn things by interrogating someone or asking questions. If they were to learn in that way, let them ask their husbands at home. But that's why. Paul gives the reason. It harkens all the way back to the effects. It harkens all the way back to the beginning. Let's just say it like that. Both the way God created males and females and the curse that came following the sin. This question is a very good one. It says, how concerned should I be about gender equality when it comes to work salaries? Now, that's a good question because we live in a time in our country, at least, when men and women are working. And obviously, so if you're going to work and you're doing the same job, a man and a woman are doing the same job, we all know, and I think we all know here, that men and women generally do not get paid the same. A man can be paid more for the same job that a woman does. Is that right? I'm going to tell you my answer about that, my opinion about that. The answer is no, it's not right. If a woman is doing the same job as a man, she should be paid the same as a man. But this question goes further, and I want you to listen carefully to this. I want to keep a Christian mindset, and I assume by that, meaning I'm a Christian woman, so I want to keep a Christian mindset, but I also want to make sure I'm paid what I'm worth in my job, regardless of my gender, but based on my knowledge and experience. And that's exactly right. So here's what a woman is faced with a lot of times. She works at a job. She gets paid a certain amount. It's not as much as she perceives or knows for a fact her male counterpart who's doing the same job is being paid. Should she say something? Should she exercise that demeanor? I don't know if there'll be questions about it, but 1 Timothy 2 especially, that demeanor of quietness, silence, etc., different word than 1 Corinthians 14. Should she exercise that and not say anything, simply accept the pay, or should she speak up? Well, how you speak up. I think that it's fine and fair and maybe even good to speak up. Why? Well, you don't know that you might live in a situation in which you have a husband and he's bringing home a salary and all of that, and you can live with $20,000 less easily a year than if you got it. It'd be nice, but you don't have to have it. You don't know that the next woman who comes and takes your job won't be a recent widow, and that's the only income coming in, and it may make the difference in the lifestyle of her children. Now, I think it's fine to speak up in any situation like that. But again, we're all Christians, and whether male or female, how we approach a situation, the demeanor with which we approach it, is what's important. Next question. How do we differentiate between sexism and respect for natural gender differences? There are natural gender differences. God created man, male and female. There are men and women, and God addresses us as males and females. Sexism, if you remember last year when we had the question and answer on prejudice, sexism is prejudice. It's prejudice based on the fact that I'm a male and you're a female, or I'm a female and you're a male. It's a prejudice against the other sex for whatever reason. It is fed by all kinds of things. And it is prejudice in the sense that it is disregard for the respect I should have for every other human being, regardless of gender. And that's quite different than recognizing biblical gender differences, and I'll interject this, which have nothing to do with the equality of person. Okay, so one is prejudice, one is simply recognizing something that's natural. The next question, how should we harmonize the two ideas of distinct roles for men and women and equal status before God? Should there be a contradiction? There should not be a contradiction. I'm glad the person asked, whoever asked this, I'm glad you asked it and asked it like this. Distinct roles have nothing to do with equality of person. There are distinct roles. And let me start with the highest being that there is. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They are spoken of as being equal. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, when Jesus the Son views the Father, he did not view it as equality as something to be grasped or reached for, because he is equal. I and the Father are one, John 10:31, I think it is. I and the Father are one. He is equal to God the Father, but he has a distinct role from God the Father. The Holy Spirit has a distinct role from Jesus. We may be here till 4 o'clock, guys, so this is good. So, having a distinct role does not negate the equality. When were different roles for men and women instituted by God? Let me answer quickly. They were instituted by God in Genesis 1 and 2. They were distinctly male and female there. And so the question goes on, before sin in the garden or after? Before. God created man and woman, male and female. We all know the story of the creation in Genesis 2, the differentiation between male and female. The consequences are heightened. That is, greatly multiply your sorrow in childbearing, etc., etc. But that does not mean that the distinctions were not there. They were clearly supposed to be male and female. There are examples in the Bible of women who prophesied. And that is true, both Old and New Testament. Remember, the daughters of Philip were prophetesses. So why are women forbidden to preach in the New Testament? Now, you may find this answer interesting, so listen carefully. Women are not forbidden to preach in the New Testament. They are forbidden to speak in the assemblies. But that has nothing to do with whether or not they can preach or teach everywhere else. In fact, if you look at Acts chapter 18 and begin about verse 24, there's a story there of a man who became a very faithful Christian, Apollos. But at that time, he did not know the truth. He only knew the baptism of John. And if you'll notice carefully, Aquila and Priscilla, they took him aside and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Both of them did. Women are not forbidden to preach. They're not forbidden to teach. They are only forbidden to do so in the assemblies and in a specialized sense in which they dominate in a situation. And we may or may not get a question about that. Next question is likened to it, and it simply says, women ministers, question mark. I like those kind of questions. They're very easy. Women ministers, question mark. Ministers in the sense of preachers. If that is what you're asking, in other words, the so-called pastor or evangelist at a congregation being a woman, no. The Lord does not authorize that. If you mean in the sense of servants, and I doubt that's what was meant by the question, we are all ministers. We are all servants. Next question. What are some ways that Christians may unintentionally perpetuate the perception that God makes men more than, or values men more than women? Okay, so how might a Christian perpetuate that idea? Or that men have more or more valuable roles in the church. What are some ways Christians may unintentionally? Well, I'd start by saying there are common perceptions that are considered funny, you know, that people pick up, phrases that seem harmless because we all know we're quote-unquote joking. But a lot of times we can say things and get a point across jokingly. I'll give you one. When we talk about woman being the weaker vessel, Peter uses that term, and if you dig down into that terminology, weaker as in fragile and precious and the way she is to be treated. But we commonly make a joke. People do. Maybe you don't, but people do. Anytime a woman is perceived to be weak, physically unable, etc., 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 even mentally so. Well, woman's the weaker vessel. Everybody laughs, ha, ha, ha. Those are the ways. I think always keeping in the forefront in the home, in the church, in our conversation, in the way we treat each other, that you are equal to me. There is no male or female in Christ. That we are all human beings equally so. Always keeping that in the forefront helps to fight against the false perception that God values men more than women, because he certainly does not. Respect is certainly given to the woman in the Bible, and in fact, one of the earliest documents, and more so than anything else, God gives value to women. Men do not have more valuable roles in the church. They may have roles that are public that women do not, but women have equally valuable roles. That's all. Okay. So I only have about 56 questions, and that's all. No, but no, I'm kidding. Well, you said that's all.
Well, no, that's the last call.
All right, Galatians 3. I just quoted it. Turn to Galatians 3 and verse 28. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So, question asked, why is gender equality observed in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 11 through 14, but ignored in Galatians 3:28. It is not. Remember the first question, and I said it depends on your point of reference. So, all are one in Christ Jesus. Look at Galatians 3. Why are we all one? We all come to Christ the same way. We are all baptized into Christ, verse 27, the same way. Spiritually speaking, our souls are absolutely equal. No matter what gender we are, where we come from in life, what nation we come from, what economic status we hold. All of that is in Galatians 3:28. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Does that mean we all have the same duties? We all have the same roles? All have the same jobs, positions, etc.? No, we do not. We don't. If we had elders at this place, we would be told, all of us, to submit to the elders. Does that make the elders greater than us? No. Does that mean we're not equal to the elders in Christ? No. Does that mean that they have a position or a role in which we are to submit? Yes, it does mean that. But so it is the case. And again, look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. When the Bible says very clearly that the head of Christ is God. All right, so does that mean that God the Father, is greater than Jesus? No. Again, we've already said, and I won't reiterate, but Jesus is equal to the Father. The head of man is Christ. Does that mean that Jesus is greater than us? Again, it depends on what reference point. Certainly he is our Lord. Certainly we are his servants. But if I were to go to Romans 8 and talk about being an heir to God or placed as a son with God, the Bible would speak of equality. People find that, no, there's no way I'm equal to Christ. Well, you are in some senses, according to God. So the head of man is Christ. The head of woman is man. In some senses, if we're talking about position, if we're talking about roles or duties, we don't have the same. But if we are talking about being equal in person, we are just as equal, male and female, as Jesus and the Father are equal. And so I'll leave it at that. What spiritual or physical significance are inferred in the scriptures above? What message does the Bible have for women? And again, I think if you look at 1 Timothy 2, it has to do with that overall demeanor. And if you read that from verses 9 and following, she's to assume a position of quietness. That is, she's not to be loud and boisterous, is the idea. She's to be respectful. She is to, in certain situations, obey and submit, just as all of us are in certain situations. Let me move on. Why aren't there women preachers in the church? There are many noteworthy women mentioned in the Bible, and what is her role? Again, we've said that. There are not women preachers in the Bible in the public sense, because women are limited from doing that. There are women who preach outside the assemblies. Philip's daughters, for example, as I cited earlier. There are four examples, four prophetesses, and I think you'll find that in Acts 21, if I'm remembering correctly. Why don't women perform the roles of song leading, of opening and closing prayers, or even announcements? Again, because we're assembled together. It is as simple as that. It doesn't mean they can't do those jobs, they can't do them well, and it doesn't mean outside the assembly, as we are in right now, that they cannot do those jobs. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a woman singing a song and even leading other people in singing, meaning she starts the song or whatever, or praying or whatever. It's just that she cannot do that when either one of two situations exists, and the one is in the assembly, and that's the easy one to see, and the other is in 1 Timothy 2, where she is, quote-unquote, usurping authority over a man, teaching or usurping authority. And again, that's when she becomes radically paying attention to herself and leading everybody else. And we could go more into that, but it would take a moment. What advice would you give to a Christian man about treating his wife equally in and out of church? I ain't going near. No, I'm the biggest advice I could give. I have been married for about 20 years, so almost 21. So the greatest advice I could give about treating your wife equally is treat your wife equally. Recognize that she is a person. Value her for what she is, and that is an equal person to you, with contributing to you, Genesis chapter 2. Remember, we weren't good enough by ourselves to start a home. So God made a help that was meet, suitable, fit for us to provide everything we were lacking in. And once I understand that, I start valuing a woman for what she is and can do. And by the way, women can do, and they do a lot of things that, I mean, you ever seen a woman have a baby? I would not want to have to go through that. Is the Bible a way of, basically saying, is the Bible a way of controlling a woman to keep a woman in her place? No. God keeps us all in our place. And I think if we start with that understanding, we all have a place. It does not mean lower as a person. It just means a place. We have a role. We have a duty. We have things we can do. We were given talents and abilities. And some of that has to do with gender. And as long as I recognize that and do what I'm supposed to do to the best of my ability, man, the church would be a great place. How does the Church of Christ handle the issue of accepting or not accepting transgenders in the church? Now, that's an interesting question. I have not quite ever had to run across that. Close, but not quite. I don't want to get into that. Transgender, again, when a person comes to Christ, they come with all their past baggage. I'll say it like that. Everything that has happened in the past, and that may include having an operation, etc., etc. It may include all of that. When I repent, if that's what I need to do, whatever I can do to correct what I've done in the past, I try to do. There are some things that are not correctable, reversible, if you will. How does the Church of Christ handle it? We handle it like anybody else who comes to Christ, repenting of their past sins, willing to do what God says from this point forward. And that includes people who come from transgender situations, people who come from homosexual situations, people who come from criminal situations, or everything else. It includes that. Is nature insinuating anything vital to the knowledge of women's position and purpose in the grand scheme of creation? I think so. And I think we can learn from nature. We can even, and the Bible refers us to animals and what they do in many senses, but not everything. Okay? So insinuating, I'll buy that. Teaching us by example on some things, I'll buy that. You know, ants work hard, for example, from Proverbs. In the grand scheme of creation, God made not only human beings, male and female, but He made animals, male and female. So we can learn from it, but don't get carried away by what happens in nature in disregard of what God says. Note, reference is taken from the inequality ratio of male and female, and looking out in nature, you know, etc. There are a lot of reasons for why there is an inequality. I don't really want to get off in exploring that, but a lot of reasons why there are more female animals than male, and a great one has to do with man's involvement of that. We want the female animal around because it bears the offspring, that kind of thing. But I'll leave it at that. Scripture defines the roles for the church and the home. Yes, it does. Respect for leaders defines equality on the job. Anything beyond these parameters is human-driven, requiring self-evaluation. I agree with that question, what's expressed in the question. I'm not sure the sentiment that is being asked, but I will say this. In the home, for example, there are very defined roles in the home for the male and the female. The husband and wife, Ephesians 5, for example. The mother and father, many passages, Ephesians 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, etc. But let me say this to you. While there are different roles, different specified duties, responsibilities, they are equal. And there are terms given for both husband and wife, male and female, which has to do with authority, which has to do with rule. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul would have the younger widows to marry. The term, the phrase in the King James, guide the house. Literally to be a house despot, which means in the home she rules. And there are many things in which, you know, Montel and I might have a discussion. Montel might say, Michael, what do you think about so-and-so? And I'll say, that's your business. This is your home, your house. Now, that doesn't mean husbands and wives don't discuss things and there is an input, but there again, it is pointing to the equality. But it is also pointing to the fact that there are defined, definite roles and responsibilities for male and female. It doesn't take away from the equality, is the point. At what time of the discussion should the true disciples of Christ or the church speak up nationally? Or should they, I suppose, is the question, for women's rights. Romans 13, 1-7, which teaches obedience for the law. As a citizen in this country, male or female, you have a right to speak up. Okay, let's start with that. You have a right to say what you think, what you believe, how you interpret the Constitution, and you are supposed to be, you are supposed to be heard, regardless of gender, nationality, I mean, ethnic background, etc., etc. Nationality, we all American. In the Bible, as a Christian, be you male or female, you have a right to be heard. You may speak up. But I would encourage you as a woman the same as I would encourage a man. Don't just always be speaking up. There's a passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 that doesn't address just women. It addresses everybody. And it has to do with tooting your own horn, would be a modern way to translate it. That you study to be quiet, etc. I think that's verse 12 there. And the idea is, as a Christian, I will speak up at times when it's needed. I will speak up at times when I think there's a wrong or an injustice or a sin being committed. But I'm going to reserve that. I'm not going to be the one that's always speaking up. I'm not going to be the one that's fighting for an ulterior gender agenda. I'm not going to be, in other words, I'm not going to be a woman who's more concerned with women's rights than I am with what God said. I'm always thinking about that. So at what time should she speak up again? When there's a wrong that needs to be addressed, and she is the one to address it. But be careful with what demeanor you approach that, and I would say male or female. This gender equality and re-identification is troubling. I agree with that. It's troubling for young adults when they seek a wife and when they seek a husband. That is true. Maybe this will redirect people to God's church, His word and commandment. I hope so. I hope so. Because sin brings in confusion. And none of us like confusion. And if I have to be questioning the most basic things in life, then something's wrong. And that's the point. And when something is wrong, that should redirect me, as this question says, back to the Word of God. Because in God's Word, there is not that confusion. And so if there is not that confusion, it brings or breeds peace, and that's what we want. So I hope it will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And you may want to turn there, because I mentioned this passage, I haven't really addressed it. Does God hold it against women if they do not bear children? In other words, she shall be saved in childbearing, if you remember the passage. Since he says women will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and so forth, does he hold it against women if they do not bear children? No, obviously not. Some cannot bear children. They're not physically able to bear them. And others may choose, like Paul, to remain unmarried and not have children. There is nothing spoken of as being wrong. In the natural way of things, people will marry, they will have children, they will set up godly homes, in, you know, as God instituted, etc. But what 1 Timothy 2 is teaching, I believe, is more the great respect and, if you will, elevation, glorification, even in a proper sense, of women in the role of being a mother. The point is, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We all know that statement. What is that saying? It is saying how incredibly important the role of being a mother can be. And so, a woman who, yes, submits in the way that 1 Timothy 2 is describing, who submits to her husband, who is obedient in that regard, who carries herself in a quiet way, as it's being described there, in her dress, in her speech, etc., etc., but who then becomes a wife and a mother and has that position in a home, what greater respect can there be? I don't know about you, but women who do a great job of being a wife and a mother, I about respect more than I do anybody on the face of the earth. And I think that's what it's teaching. Is there any biblical position that prohibits women from praying during worship in the church? No, in fact, there is a commandment to pray. Not publicly, not leading. When I say publicly, I mean you're standing before everybody else. Not leading, not verbalizing the prayer, speaking out to the assembly. But other than that, 1 Corinthians 14, where you are in your pew, just like all of us who are not up here leading the prayer, we are commanded to pray. In the church, Would we forbid a woman who has become a full transgender man from leading in church, having become a full male by, of course, the process, the operation? My short answer to that is yes. And my long answer would be to delve into how the person began life in every physical sense, like Eve began her life as a woman, and is now considered to be a male, and should we as Christians view this person as a male? I will say absolutely in most every case, I do not view them as male. They may look male, they may have had the process, the operation, but I believe they are female. Now, that doesn't mean that I know everything, and it doesn't mean there aren't very specialized cases, but take the number of transgender operations that exist in 2018 and ask yourself the question, is there anything more to it than just they were born that way? And I think that's where the discussion has to begin. But without question, it is not the same as someone who was born male, grew up male, remained male, and continues to be male. It is just not the same. In any sense, is it the same? Is it wrong for a female to earn more than her husband? That's a good question. Is it wrong for a female to earn more than her husband, even though God says the man should be the breadwinner? Well, first of all, God does not say the man should be the breadwinner. I don't know where that quote is. If you know, please come to me with it. But no, I think I know what you're saying. Men are to go out and work, and women are to be keepers at home. I get all that. Is it wrong for a woman to earn more than her husband? I don't know anything in the Bible that would say it is. But I tell you this, what is wrong? What is wrong is considering it. In other words, Montel and I both work, and we both earn money. And we don't ever stop to say, oh, you earned X amount of dollars more than me this week or this month. It doesn't have to do with that. We have one home. We are one as husband and wife. And every dollar that comes in, it is one. It is considered one income, one family, etc. The only time we ever separate it is when we actually write the checks and put them into the plate. And they're pretty close to being equal for those that count money know that. And the reason we do that is because we believe we individually should give. And that's it. Other than that, it's all one pot. Let me try to get through these quickly. And I know we've gone past time, but I will be brief. Why don't women attend business meetings in the church at East Orange? Because they would be put in a position where they would have to go over a man making those decisions, leading, perhaps even engaging in discussions or arguments, if you want to look at it like that. And it is not the place in an assembled group of the church. Is it because men and women are not equal? No, it is not. They are equal. But they don't have the same responsibility. Is a business meeting part of worship? It is not. But if you do like some churches do, in which you assemble all the members of the church, all the men and all the women are assembled together, it's not a worship service, but it is an assembly, and therefore it would fall back to 1 Corinthians 14. Custom and culture have a strong influence over the roles of men and women in society. Amen. The Old and New Testament direct men and women consistent with the custom of the day. Amen. In our day, our customs are very different. Why shouldn't the church follow similar practices allowing women leadership roles? Let me answer that simply. We do follow custom of the day. We do a lot of things like we do in this day and time. One thing we do not do, though, is obey custom or man over Jesus Christ. We do what Peter said. We obey God rather than men. So when something is in violation out in society, we hearken back to what Jesus says. Last question. Why are women not silent during Bible studies, but not participating during church's business meetings when both men and women make up the church? Again, very simply. And this is the hard thing to grasp. When is it an assembly? When is it not? If it is an assembly, whether you're calling it a business meeting or a worship service, if it's an assembly, women should not be speaking up. If it is simply a gathering of people, if it is outside the assembly, whole different situation. Bible class is one of those. A Bible class is not an assembly. All the members of the church are not assembled together. In fact, that's why we say we, quote, divide, break up in the class. We use that terminology to make it clear we're not assembled together. Do these two activities constitute worship? I've already said that. No, where women in leadership is warned against by God. And again, I've answered that. Women are prohibited in an assembly, but not outside of it. All right, we haven't said everything there is to say. I hope you found that interesting. I always find it interesting when these questions come in. They are very good questions, and you guys never let me down. Hope I did a decent job with it. If not, come to me, and I'll be glad to talk to you about that. Let's change gears for a moment. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, if you have not confessed your belief in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, if you have not been willing to repent, to change your life in every respect, that is, the things you're doing wrong, you want to stop them, the things that you may not even know yet, but whatever is right, that's what you want to do. You can be baptized this morning to wash all your sins away, to begin a new life in Jesus Christ. And we'd ask you to do that. If you're here this morning and you have done that, and yet you'd like to recommit, rededicate, or just simply start all over again, if you need to do that, we bid you come while we stand in the sanctuary.